You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The election just passed. Inflation was the story, we're told again and again, by election specialists, people who poll and read polls and give recommendations to candidates. But what does that mean? Inflation was the story. And the American people were upset. They thought prices had gone up. Why? I welcome John Cochran, who keeps The Grumpy Economist, which I highly recommend on Substack, his blog. John is at the at Stanford University in Palo Alto. He's also a fellow, an esteemed fellow at the Hoover Institution, participates in a video that I love to watch with John and his colleagues, the Goodfellas. Right now, though, we're going to some economist words that are important to understand. First, the questions John asked at the beginning of his blog. Did supply shocks or relative demand shocks cause the recent inflation? I read that sentence and I go, I don't know what any of that means. I better talk to John. John, a very good evening to you. The supply shocks, we were told in general, that's the problem here and we'll get it over with. But the driver of inflation is much more mysterious. We need you to help me understand that relative prices are not price levels. And price levels are not the inflation rate. I may have said that backwards. Please help me, John. Good evening.
I think you got that all right, John. Yes. So where did inflation come from? Some of the stories are patently silly. Greed, shrinkflation, monopoly, price gouging, and so forth. But then one of the most common stories is, oh, a supply shock hit us. Most commonly in the tone of the dog ate my homework, don't blame me, from politicians and the Fed. There's a certain something to that. Suppose, you know, we had a pandemic and you can't get TVs through the ports. You can't get chips to make stuff. So the prices of those things go up relative to everything else, right? That it's relative. If we don't have enough TVs, the price of TVs goes up relative to restaurant foods because we have to all buy less TVs and buy more restaurant foods. The problem with that story is it tells you why the price of TVs goes up, but it doesn't tell you why the price of everything goes up. To get that to happen, we need to have enough money to buy more TVs as well as more everything else. To pay more for TVs as well as more for everything else. So real inflation is the price of everything going up. And that only comes from too much monetary, or in this case, fiscal policy. It always comes from demand, not from supply. Because, to your first point, supply is a relative price shock. It makes the price of one thing go up relative to other things. The scarce thing goes up, the things that are abundant go down. The only way to get the price of everything to go up is for us all to have more money, loosely speaking, to pay for it all. It needs monetary and fiscal policy.
And there is the magic formula. It's called demand. Do I say that correctly?
Demand. You say that correctly.
Demand is created. For 100 years now, demand has been the answer. I generalize a little bit that has it ever worked, John? Is there evidence of it?
Demand matters much less than you think. Demand is the overall capacity to buy everything. Too much demand, which comes from too much money or debt, makes us all try to buy more of everything. And that's what drives the price of everything up. But demand, more demand can stop a recession, maybe, but long run growth does not come from just demand. It always comes from greater supply, from being able to make more stuff more cheaply, innovation, all that good stuff.
Now, I go to the example you give us of FDR, who had this same problem, but he was also dealing with deflation. How does deflation fit into this picture? Because you say that the prejudice is for inflation as the risk, never deflation. It seems to frighten people.
Yeah, and deflation does frighten people. The Great Depression had deflation, and the Great Depression was bad. And there's a feeling that when prices and wages have to go down, since people are unwilling to have prices and wages go down, the economy as a whole goes down, the quantities go down rather than the prices go down. The big conceptual mistake that our politicians and way too many economists are making now, and Roosevelt made and Hoover made before Roosevelt, yes, Hoover, even my own, Herbert Hoover, my institution made, is to confuse the level of all prices with one price versus another thing. So what Roosevelt and Hoover did, they faced deflation, they faced a depression, and their idea was, we'll let businesses collude to raise prices. We'll let people become more monopoly to raise prices. But a monopoly only works by raising one price relative to other prices. That's what you, if you have monopoly power, you want to raise your price relative to wages. You don't want to see prices and wages and all your competitors' prices go up. That's a change in the level of all prices. That was the problem. And then by cartelizing it, they try to make, it's like trying to make both kids on a seesaw go up by first pushing Johnny up and then pushing Susie up. But that pushing Johnny versus Susie up on the seesaw doesn't make the level of both of them go up. You need the middle of the seesaw to go up. You need more money, which is what eventually cured the deflation of the depression. So don't confuse, it's something only an economist could say, don't confuse inflation with prices. Inflation is not about one price going up or another price going up relative to other things. All those forces like monopoly, like supply shocks, like demand, all those things that make one thing go up relative to another are not what constitutes inflation. Inflation is everything going up, and that only comes from more money or debt.
You and I are old enough to remember the 1970s, and it became routine to accept that everything was going to be more expensive. I remember when I got to Manhattan, right out of college, and a can of tuna fish cost 69 cents. Within a year, it was 99 cents. And then it went into the dollars, and I stopped buying it entirely. That was everywhere in the 1970s. What happened? Use that example and explain to me what I was experiencing.
You were experiencing inflation because it wasn't just the tuna, it was also the peanut butter. The price of everything was going up. Now, typically in inflations, the prices go up faster than people's wages, which is why people are really mad, justifiably, about inflation. If prices and wages all went up at the same rate, it would be only an annoyance, but prices go up faster than wages, which is what you were feeling. So you feel like you don't have enough to buy everything. And that's what you were feeling. And the 70s was similar. It's funny, we forgot that story. Why did we have inflation in the 70s? Well, people say oil price shocks. That was a supply shock. But every economist who looked at that, sort of like this was in economics 101, it wasn't the oil prices per se. That would have gone up and come back down again. It was the oil prices induced the Fed primarily at the time, but also the government to run deficits, which caused the overall inflation. So the supply shock caused the government to give the demand, and that flooded the economy with money, and everything went up.
And the 1970s were what I remember hearing at the time was, this is the future. This is the new normal. And inflation did hang on into the 80s and 90s is my memory, but then it eased in some fashion. Why did it ease? Why did inflation stop for a moment becoming the major story that was undermining our prosperity?
Inflation stopped the way it always ends up stopping, a combination of tight monetary policy that stick to it monetary policy by the Fed, raising interest rates and keeping them up, which caused a substantial recession, but nowhere near as bad as all the Keynesian economists of the time thought it was going to be. combined with fiscal and microeconomic reforms, deregulation, fiscal reform, so that the government was not running deficits by the end of the 80s, by the end of the 90s, paying off all that debt, and growing smartly. And those three steps is really what it typically takes to stop inflation.
So that it was the Federal Reserve in combination with the government?
Yes. And we had in the 1980s, there was not just the Fed tightening money. There was a big Social Security reform. Remember Social Security?
Yes, yes.
Social Security is hanging over our heads now. It was hanging over our heads in the 1980s. They did a big Social Security reform and took that worry about fiscal policy off the table. They did a huge tax reform, cut marginal rates from 70% to 28%, but tightened up so many loopholes that they were making more money and the economy boomed. And so the booming economy brought in a lot of money, and that's what paid for ending the inflation.
Was deregulation part of the story then? I remember President Reagan having a pile of paper that he was boasting he had reduced to a little pile. Did that help?
I believe so. And let's give Carter his due. Deregulation started under Carter with airlines, trucks, and phones, and continued under Reagan. You don't have to believe that's what caused. I believe that lower tax rates and deregulation was a big part of the boom, but you don't have to believe that. The economy boomed. And when the economy booms, the government is raking in tax revenue. Governments that have booming economies don't have inflation. So growth is always the answer.
All right. We have an inflation rate. What is to be done? I'm speaking with Professor John Cochran, who teaches at Stanford University. He's a esteemed fellow at the Hoover Institution, writing his blog at Grumpy Economist, which is very funny. It's got illustrations that make everything seem much more available than when you read it and you get lost in these very careful definitions that economists live with. When we come back, what is to be done? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.